You and Me and BPD, Season 3, Episode 2, Psychosis and Hallucinations. So on my Instagram, I put out a poll and I asked people if they would be interested in an episode about psychosis and hallucinations within the context of BPD. Most people said they would be interested, which is great. And then I asked if people had experienced psychosis. And it was very interesting because of the people I know who follow me, who have BPD or talk about BPD, all of them said yes. And the greater majority of people who follow me who, you know, don't really talk about mental illness or don't have BPD said no. So just from my little study, it seems that a lot of us with BPD experience some form of psychosis at least once in our life. But it is often a highly kind of underdiagnosed or under-talked about and even stigmatized thing to talk about. So I figured we'll talk a little bit about it today. I'll tell you a little bit of my experiences and how I understand it. And I'll share with you some research because really the research out there is not the greatest. One thing that I just want to give a quick kind of trigger warning is when you look up BPD and you kind of learn about BPD and psychosis, a lot of the times what ends up coming up is this prevalence of suicide ideation. So we will be talking a little bit about that, and I do plan on making a follow-up kind of more specific podcast episode about suicide ideation within BPD, but I just want to let you know that that is something that we are going to be talking about, especially when it comes to auditory verbal hallucinations and what that can mean in the context of a suicide ideation or suicide attempts for people with BPD. So if that's not your cup of tea, if that's not necessarily what you can handle right now, I totally respect that. I just didn't want to kind of bring that into the conversation without letting you know. So let's start at the very beginning. I am using the CAMH, which is the Canadian Addiction and Mental Health Centers. Their website, they have a great website about various mental health disorders and addiction disorders. So I'm going to be using a lot of their context of how they explain psychosis to kind of give us a good basis for what we're talking about. So according to CAMH, the term psychosis is used to describe conditions that affect the mind in which people have trouble distinguishing between what is real and what is not. So that's just kind of a very overview version of what psychosis is. And what we know is that borderline personality disorder was introduced as a kind of diagnosis to represent people who fluctuate between neurosis, which is a kind of perfectionism, like kind of more relationship-based type of anxiety, and psychosis, which is this kind of disruption between what is real and what is not. Within psychosis, people typically experience psychotic episodes. And so these episodes can last anywhere from a week to a couple of months. And typically when a psychotic episode happens, we might look at some of the behaviors that people have, which according to CAMH can be distinguished as positive or negative, which is very interesting verbiage that they use. But according to them, the positive ones are things that constitute a shift in how we process the world. So that would be experiencing delusions, experiencing hallucinations, having disorganized speech or thought, or rapidly shifting between ideas. And the negative ones impact how we actually interact with the world. So that might mean we have reduced speech or emotional capacity. We might experience sleep disturbances, and that can also lead to suicide ideation or self-harm. So most often when people think about psychotic episodes, they think about, you know, somebody having a breakdown. And according to research, 3 out of 100 people will experience a psychotic episode at least once in their life. So it's pretty common, whether or not you get diagnosed with a disorder because of the psychotic episode is besides the fact, just people experience this. And what that can lead to are various diagnoses. So one of the most common is schizophrenia, and that's where your psychosis can last for 6 months or longer. Typically, that's how it's diagnosed. And that can include daily hallucinations or daily paranoia or having delusions about people following you. I mean, we all have ideas of what schizophrenia is. Unfortunately, it's a highly stigmatized mental illness. And it's been used in horrible ways in the media to kind of vilify people. And if you want to know more about schizophrenia, there's so many amazing people who are kind of challenging the ideas that we've been built up about what schizophrenia is. But that's the main one that people think of when they think of psychosis, because it's kind of the main one that has been pushed out there as if you experience psychosis, you must have schizophrenia, which is not true, because psychosis can also be found in bipolar disorder. So some people with bipolar disorder might experience psychotic episodes. You can also have schizoaffective disorder, which is when you experience symptoms of psychosis, but maybe you don't have so many hallucinations, or it's not so for such a long period. You might even be diagnosed with depression with depression with psychotic features, which is where you have a long-term diagnosis of depression, but now you're experiencing this paranoia and this delusion and even some hallucinations. There's also another one which also uses the acronym BPD, but it's called brief psychotic disorder. And that's where you might experience a psychotic episode for a brief amount of time. This typically is reserved specifically as a result of stress in your life. So maybe you have a friend or a family member who dies, or you get into a car accident and you suddenly become increasingly paranoid and increasingly delusional and fearful of, you know, being hurt again. That would be considered a brief psychotic disorder, but of course these are diagnosed through mental health professionals. So I'm not trying to give you any diagnoses, just trying to give you an overview of what is considered psychosis. In terms of BPD, we get to a couple of kind of problems with the way that we kind of diagnose psychosis in BPD. So according to the DSM-5, which is what is commonly used to diagnose BPD, they state that only in some individuals, during times of heightened stress, will they experience psychosis, hallucinations, paranoia, delusions, all these different things. And fundamentally, that is questionable, because speaking from someone who, you know, I experience hallucinations, and I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this, and sometimes delusions, but we'll talk more about that. When we talk about BPD and psychosis, unfortunately, there's this belief that it only happens during times of increased stress. And because of that, some people who have come forward and said, I experience hallucinations, I experience paranoia, I experience delusions, are pushed aside, and those hallucinations are not seen as real hallucinations, used in air quotes, if you could see me. That's really a problem with the way that psychology has decided to look at BPD, because one of my things that I always go to is Reddit to see if I'm the only person experiencing this. If you go on Reddit and you look up BPD plus hallucinations, you will find multiple threads of multiple people talking about what hallucinations they experience, what delusions they experience, the amount of paranoia that they experience almost on a daily basis. And according to research, which I found, there is a recent study which was published in the 2021 Current Opinion in Psychology, specifically about psychosis and BPD. 25 to 50% of patients who are diagnosed with BPD will experience some form of psychosis. That is nearly half of us. So that is a lot of people walking around with hallucinations, with psychosis, I guess, psychotic tendencies. I don't want to put that in a negative stigma, like stigmatized way, but that's kind of the easiest way to explain it. There's a lot of us walking around with these kind of symptoms who are experiencing them, not because of heightened stress, but just in life. And unfortunately, we often don't talk about it. And I think it's mainly because people are afraid to talk about it. So in BPD specifically, you might experience auditory or visual hallucinations. You might experience paranoia about people in your life. You might experience a misinterpreting of relationships. So this could mean that maybe you're listening to someone and you're trying to understand maybe why they're upset with you, but your brain is kind of misinterpreting their body signals and the way that they're speaking or the things that they're saying. And that can cause a lot of stress for you. And unfortunately, that can lead to even more paranoia and even more delusions. So some people with BPD have talked about how they experience an increasing distrust of the people in their lives. How this kind of, when we were talking about in the last episode, some of the symptoms of BPD, this kind of sense of abandonment can lead to delusional thinking where you're constantly trying to pinpoint exactly what somebody is saying, or you're constantly trying to figure out what it is that they mean by something, that you become so wrapped up in it that maybe you have your own interpretation, which is completely separate from reality that is happening around you. That is a psychotic kind of feature of BPD. Unfortunately, when it comes to auditory verbal hallucinations, short form AVH, people with BPD have a more negative, harmful, and critical voice in their head, or voices in their head that can sometimes lead to higher suicidal tendencies and high rates of suicide. So if you know anything about BPD, and I've mentioned this before, we have some of the highest rates of suicide ideation and suicide attempts in Cluster B, which is where BPD falls in the DSM-5, in the Cluster B category of mental illnesses. And in studies of people who are in treatment facilities, they found that there was this kind of overarching, they found that there were people who said that they experienced these auditory hallucinations which led them to attempt suicide. And that is really scary. And that's something that I think we need to talk about more often, because sometimes people will hear a voice in their head and it seems to be critical and it seems to be breaking them down. And it's almost like it's not you. It is something else inside of your head saying to you, you should hurt yourself. You don't deserve to be here. you may as well kill yourself. Not me. This is not me saying it. These are sometimes the hallucinations that people hear. And that is sometimes why we have the highest rates of suicide attempts out of the cluster B category. Because people hear these hallucinations and they don't know how to process them and they don't know how to deal with them. And they're afraid to tell people that they're hearing voices because, you know, so much of the time it's dismissed. And unfortunately, people will say, oh, like, you're just being critical. It's just your own head. But sometimes it's literally not. That's what hallucinations are, is you don't know what's happening. You don't know why this is happening. You might feel like somebody is pushing you. And some people have even said that they felt controlled by the voices in their head to do horrible things to themselves or to the people they love. And that's a scary aspect. And when it comes to BPD, in research, it's been found that we experience really intense auditory hallucinations, and that can lead to paranoia. And usually what ends up happening with psychosis is once it's begun, it gets worse and worse and worse until we have a psychotic episode. So it's this kind of build up of maybe you start to hear a voice, maybe you start to feel uneasy, then you start to become paranoid, then you start to have delusions, then you have even more hallucinations. And that is really unsafe for a lot of us. But unfortunately, there's this huge stigma against talking about the hallucinations we experience. There's also the belief that hallucinations are only auditory, or that the hallucinations that people hear are only based on what is going on inside their head. But that's not true. Which brings me to me talking about my own hallucinations. So ever since I was a child, I have had this sense that I've seen ghosts. And I think it's because when I was a child, it was the easiest way to explain what I see. So almost daily, I see things out the corner of my eye. And some people might say, oh yeah, I see that too. Like sometimes I'll think somebody's walking by. But for me, what it is, and I can pinpoint exactly where it happens. When I was a child, I would walk home from school and I thought somebody was walking behind me. And so when I turned around, I'd see a shadow go behind a tree, or I'd see a shadow go behind a car, or I'd hear somebody saying, Steph, Steph. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and see a shadow in the corner of my room and I'd hear it saying, Steph. And when I was a child, I would feel like when I was walking, I would feel something reach out towards me, or I would feel a sensation that there's someone watching me. And I never talked to anyone about it because I knew that that was not normal. I knew even as a child that that was not appropriate. You don't say that to people. And even now as an adult, I will hear my name being called almost all the time. I'll just kind of hear it. The one that I experience the most often is this sense that someone is watching me, and then I'll look over at the door and I'll see a shadow hide behind the door, and then I feel it again. And sometimes it really impacts my day. Like sometimes I really have to stop and I have to go investigate. And and this is in broad daylight. So I don't want to say like, oh, this is just a trick of the light. You know, like it's just something out the corner of my eye. No, this is a hallucination. This is feeling. The other hallucination I get recently, which has been really distressing for me, is the feeling that something is crawling on my body. So I will be lying in bed and I'll have to get out of bed and like shake off my whole body because I feel like there's things crawling on me. or I'm doing a meditation and I suddenly get the sense that there's something crawling on my face and I have to sit and try my hardest to ignore it, but I can feel it. Like, I can feel the sensation of something crawling on my skin, something crawling through my shirt. Sometimes it's this overwhelming sense that there's something on me and I have to get it off. I have to stop what I'm doing, and I can feel it, and I'll go to my husband. And that's possibly the one of the best things you can do, is go to someone that you trust and say, do you hear that? Are you experiencing that? And that's how I kind of came to the realization that so much of what I experience is hallucination, because no one else can see it. I'll hear someone calling my name, or I'll feel something crawling on me, and I'll go to my husband and say, can you check this? I feel like there's stuff crawling on my back. Like, I'll take my shirt off and be like, is there anything on my back? I can feel it crawling there. And he's like, there's nothing. There's nothing there. And for a long time, I felt like I couldn't talk about it. And so when I believed I was haunted, which sounds so interesting to say, but it's not just like a child. Like, there's a difference between an imaginary friend, right? And thinking that it's your imagination. But when I was a child, I was convinced I was haunted. I was convinced that there was a little girl who was following me, because it was always in the form of a little girl. And it was always something that I could see. And I could see, like, a shadow form standing in the corner of my room. Sometimes I would try my hardest to sleep, but I'd have to sleep with the lights on, because I knew the moment I turned it off, there was going to be that shadow person there. And I literally felt like I couldn't tell anyone about it. I felt like if I told people about this, they were going to think that I was crazy, and they were not going to believe me. And the couple of times I did mention it to people, unfortunately, sometimes it turns into spiritual psychosis, which a lot of people experience, where they think, I've been chosen by God. I see angels. I see demons. I'm supposed to talk to these angels and demons. There was once a time where I was doing like rituals, thinking that I was supposed to be talking to these hallucinations, that they were sent to me. And that is a delusion in itself. That is a form of psychosis in itself, thinking that you were given some amazing technique of, you have been blessed to see angels, or you have been blessed to talk to God. And that is a form of spiritual psychosis, which, especially now in the New Age society, or in the New Age spiritualism, has become something that people experience. People experience psychotic breaks because they think that God is talking to them. And there's a form of delusion where you get so wrapped up in your beliefs of, this is real. Like, this is God talking to me. This is a demon talking to me. This is, you know, a ghost talking to me. That you get so wound up in them that you believe that that is real. And the very thing about it is, you have a hard time distinguishing between what is real and what is not. And unfortunately, people, when it comes to BPD, as I mentioned, people, according to the DSM-5, it is only in some individuals during times of increased stress. And that's not always true. Because a lot of the time, I'm not stressed out. I'm not anxious. I'm just hanging out. Maybe I'm on the computer. And I hear something. I often hear a baby cry. I often hear a child cry. Sometimes I'll hear what seems to be my son crying, and he's not even in the house with me. And I'll turn to my husband and be like, do you hear that? And he's like, no. Like, I don't. And it's hard, because there's a part of me that says, like, well, this is just my head, and, like, that's, I should ignore it. But sometimes that can cause it to get even worse. And we often don't talk about that. And I think that that's a really scary thing, because if you're not talking to anyone about it, if you're not getting a sense of if what you're experiencing is real or not, then you can't kind of live with the idea that you experience hallucinations. And I think there's a type of understanding that comes when you say, I experience this. I experience hallucinations. I experience auditory verbal hallucinations or visual hallucinations or tactile hallucinations. And when you are able to accept that and you're able to notice it, then it kind of takes away this fear, this kind of power that it can have over you. Especially when it comes to suicidal tendencies, which are very high in the BPD community, it's important for us to recognize that these hallucinations that we might be experiencing, this increased sense of paranoia or delusion that we might be living with, does not mean that we have to hurt ourselves or that we have to hurt the people around us. So what do we do? Obviously, I'm a big advocate of beginning to start with therapy. Psychotherapy has been found to be very, very supportive when it comes to dealing with hallucinations and psychosis. And part of that is because there's a belief that psychosis comes from childhood neglect. It comes from living in situations where you had to experience high amounts of stress as a child, and that hallucinations are a result of that. That's why a lot of people experience psychosis when there are traumatic things that happen in their life. So psychotherapy can help with that because it starts by looking at your childhood, it starts by looking at your family systems, how you interact with your family members, where you kind of learned whether your emotional needs were going to be met or if you had to take care of yourself or you had to shut them down, which is what a lot of us experienced as children. There is some research to suggest that BPD is a development from childhood abuse or childhood neglect. So psychotherapy can be a way to help with hallucinations. If you're experiencing hallucinations and they're disrupting your day-to-day life, you might also want to look at antipsychotic medication. So these are medications specifically within, most often used for schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. Because we know that BPD doesn't really have a specific medication that helps people with BPD. We kind of treat the symptoms of BPD. So if you are experiencing hallucinations, you might want to talk to your doctor about trying to get on antipsychotic medications. And this can help to lessen the hallucinations, or it just can help to completely regulate your stress so that you don't experience them as much. And I think being aware of whether or not they're real can give you a sense of kind of stability. So I am almost always going to my husband and saying, did you see that? Did you hear that? Was that just me? and I think being honest with people, talking about it, making sure that the people in your life realize that you are experiencing this, and it's not always going to be scary. I mean, when I was younger, I used to have this big fear of looking at the shadows that I saw. And I thought that if I looked at them, and I would sometimes try to look at them, and then I would hear a voice, or I would feel the sense of something watching me, and I would feel this sense of impending doom, and it would just become worse and worse and worse, to the point that I couldn't sleep, to the point that I had to stay up, or I would feel increasingly uncomfortable in my room or in my house. Like, I remember being younger, being in my house by myself and thinking, things are gonna hurt me here. I can't go into the basement. I can't go into my room. I can't leave my room. And it's important for us to recognize that a lot of people experience hallucinations, and they're not always necessarily negative. Sometimes a hallucination can be that you hear a giggle, or you see a face in a tree, or you suddenly have the sense that you are floating, or that you're experiencing something out of body. And that's not always bad, but I think it is important for us to be honest about what we experience, to be aware that most of the time our hallucinations are our own. And if you want to continue talking about this, as always, you can reach out to me on my Instagram. Or you can also look at forums. Like, Reddit is an amazing place that I've found where... I'm going to retract that. Not amazing, because there are some really bad parts of Reddit. But Reddit is a place where I found that people are the most honest about what they experience. And it can be helpful to find other people who have experienced these hallucinations, whether it's the shadow people that I'm talking about, or whether it's the tactile sensation of something touching you, or something crawling on you. Like, you will find other people who have experienced the same kind of hallucinations. And just recognizing that you are not alone in that can be a really healing and powerful thing to recognize. Because you're not. I experience hallucinations almost daily, and it's taken a lot of work for me to be able to see that and to not necessarily be afraid of it. And sometimes I am. That happens sometimes. But I'm also very honest with the people in my life. I'm very honest with especially my husband. And I think the more we talk about these things, these lesser known, kind of highly stigmatized parts of BPD, the more that we are able to unpack just how intense this condition can be, but also how similar a lot of us are. A lot of us experience hallucinations, and a lot of us are afraid to say that. And I hope that you know that you are not alone in anything you experience, and that there are many of us throughout history who have experienced the same sensations, same ideas, or same hindrances. And it's never a bad thing to reach out for help. It's never a bad thing to go to therapy or be on medication if that's what helps you to live a better life. And that should be your goal. More than anything, more than being afraid to appear crazy to people, if you need help, get the help you need. Yeah, I think that's about it for today. Please reach out if you want to continue talking. And if you're interested in any of the research, I can share with you research papers I found. There's not a lot, but there is a good amount of them. And I will see you in the next episode. Bye.